More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, be not afraid. Is fear, worry, or anxiety holding you back? Let's help you tap into God's grace and discover a more confident you. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, be not afraid. Is fear, worry, or anxiety holding you back? We want to help you tap into God's grace and discover a more confident you. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
So are you worried about a particular problem in your life or your relationships? Is anxiety just changing your, stealing your peace or your joy? Is your fear holding you back from doing something you need to do? Is someone you care about struggling with anxiety and you're not sure how to help them? Well, we're here to help you figure out those next steps and move you from anxiety to God's grace and a good plan. So all you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in. Shoot them to us via email. That address, questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we love to hear your voice and be able to ask you those questions to tailor our responses specifically to your situation. So give us a call, 877-573-7825, and tell us how fear, worry, or anxiety is stealing your peace or undermining your joy. We want to help you overcome those problems, the specific situations that might be provoking you to anxiety, or, you know, that underlying current of anxiety that just kind of runs throughout everything. If you're not sure what's going on with that, we can help take down that emotional temperature there too. And of course, if someone you care about is struggling with fear, worry, or anxiety, your kids, for example, a spouse, a friend, whoever, you know, and you want to know better how to support them, we're here for you. The number again is 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And what's that, you say? Well, great question. When St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we can discover God's plan for living a more joyful and abundant life by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation, especially of our bodies.
Well, the theology of the body reminds us that anxiety is not God's will for us. You know, at the beginning, before the fall, Adam and Eve were completely vulnerable. They were confident in God's care and their love for one another. It was only after the fall, when they were separated from God, each other, and themselves, that they felt exposed, ashamed, and very anxious. When they were confronted with the bigness of the world and their own sense of smallness and insufficiency, after being separated from God, they hid, cowering behind the bushes, trying to hide from Him. How often do we feel this way in our own minds? There are certainly plenty of things to be concerned about, but we only become truly worried about those things when we allow those concerns to separate us from God's love and our ability to use the gifts and support God has given us to make concrete plans to address those concerns gracefully.
So the theology of the body reminds us that while worry and anxiety are certainly common enough experiences in the modern world, the answer to those worries is to recenter ourselves in the loving arms of our Heavenly Father, who loves us, cares for us, and shelters us from the storms of life, especially when we feel alone and scared and helpless. You know, it's fine to be concerned about things, right? That being concerned about something enables us to identify the problem, bring it to God, gather our resources and support, and make a concrete plan to address the concern. But having concerns is different from having anxiety. Because when we have anxiety, it just causes us to focus so exclusively on the problem that we're incapable of identifying the solution. We're incapable of bringing it to God or gathering our resources or making a plan. We just allow ourselves to spin out and say, oh my gosh, it's a problem, and it's a really big problem, and it's going to run me over, and what am I going to do? Oh no, you know. And that's very common. I'm not making fun of that. That's a very common experience.
No, I think we all go through it at one point or another.
But that's why St. John Paul, when he was Pope, was constantly reminding us to be not afraid. He wasn't denying all the concerns that affect our lives. He was saying that with God's grace, we have the power to respond to those concerns in a spirit of love and grace instead of a spirit of fear. Sure, you know, the challenges in front of us can be great, but God's love and providence are even greater. And in the face of life's battles, St. John Paul reminds us that our battle cry needs to be, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, of course, that sounds lovely, but it's a little bit harder to do in practice. And so we want to help you do that and more today on More to Life.
And it is our battle cry. Jesus, I trust in you. But then we need to say, so what do you want me to do, Lord? What are my next steps? How do you want me to handle this? Give me the eyes to see the grace you're giving me and to see your plan and what you want me to do. And that can be difficult because anxiety really does shut down our brain. It makes our bodies feel not so great. And so it can really be a battle for us and the people we love sometimes. Let us help you take those next steps and be more open to God's grace and direction in your questions of life. Give us a call today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. I'm going to do that one more time.
Yeah, we'll do it together. 877-573-7825.
See, we did it together and it didn't work.
It's going to be one of those days, folks. Well, we are talking about anxiety, fear, and worry today on More to Life. And you can also shoot us your questions via email, of course, that address questions@moretoliferadio.com.
But if you want your quickest answers and tailored just to you, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Gold star for you. All right. Let's take our concerns to the Lord and start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you all those situations that are causing us fear, worry, and anxiety. Those problems that we're going through, those challenges we face in our life and relationships. We're just that ribbon of anxiety that runs through our day. We bring it all to you, Lord, and we ask you to help us to respond to those fears or those anxieties in ways that glorify you, that help us identify the particular problems that we're concerned about, and help us to gather the resources and support that you give us to be able to respond to those things in confidence. We ask you, Lord, to not let us be afraid, but rather to live in the peace that this world cannot give, the peace that you bring that is beyond all understanding, so that we can cooperate with your grace step by step to walk through the anxiety and to the solutions that you have for us. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name,
of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, be not afraid as we talk about fear, worry, and anxiety. Are you worried about a particular problem in your life or relationships that's getting you down? Or maybe just this sort of constant thread of anxiety is undermining your peace or stealing your joy. Or maybe someone you care about is struggling with fear, worry, or anxiety, and you don't know how to support them. Well, whatever the situation is, we want to help you be more confident in the face of that fear, worry, and anxiety. Give us a call. The number is 877 573 7825.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona on the EWTN app.
Hi, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. My problem, or what I'm trying to figure out, is my son, he's 18, and he started having episodes. We still haven't figured out why, how everything started, but he started having anxiety and sort of a kind of depression. He will tell us that he will see his world so dark that there was like no hope. Like, he even asked the question of what's the point of living. And that kind of freaked me out because I thought he could have suicidal thoughts. But thank God he assured us that that was not the case. But it's just, I feel so helpless because when he has those episodes, he just starts crying, and sometimes he doesn't even allow us to talk to him. It was super bad. We ended up taking him to the doctor. They recommended therapy, but we live in a small town, so it's so hard to get an appointment. He is now in medication. He's doing a little bit better, but I'm afraid that when he stops the medication, everything comes back. I just wish I can help him to get rid of it and the medication as well.
And have you managed to at least get on a waiting list to see, for, get him an appointment with, for therapy?
Yes. He actually had a couple of sessions, but he felt like it wasn't helping him. I don't know what he expected, or I don't know. I asked him.
Yeah, don't let him out of that. You know. Yeah. I just want to kind of jump in on that, because I think that it's important to not let him just sort of decide he's going to discontinue counseling. Because when you're just initially going through that, you know, you might feel like, oh, it's not getting better fast enough. But it's extremely important to make sure that you're following through on the therapy.
And I would say to him, you know, as you're encouraging him and really making him do this, get the appointment, drive him there, make sure he goes. You know, if he was suffering from any kind of physical ailment, you would get him to the physical therapist or the doctor or whatever it took. And let's just go with, you know, the physical therapy for a moment, just to kind of reorient you to this, Maria. If he had broken an arm, right, and they had set the arm and then he has to go to physical therapy once they take off the cast because he can't lift any weight. Those first physical therapy appointments are very painful and very difficult because you're rebuilding all the muscles. Well, dealing with anything in terms of anxiety, depression, the therapy will help, but we need to be able to walk through the discomfort of having to look at some of that and discuss it in the first couple of sessions. And some people take to that more quickly, and some people need to work a little bit harder on it. But you don't stop after two sessions because it didn't suddenly make everything great.
Well, and the metaphor comparing physical therapy with psychotherapy is very appropriate because, psychotherapy works because it creates physical changes in the way your brain processes stress and thinks about problems. And that's, you know, and very much like with physical therapy, you do those exercises over and over and over again to build up your muscles, to heal tissue, you know, to actually create a physical change through those activities that you're doing. Well, in the same way, you know, we know from brain imaging studies that therapy causes changes in the way your brain is wired. But in order to do that, you have to do the exercises over and over and over again. And initially, it doesn't feel like you're getting anything out of it because it's just like, you know, it's like when you first start to exercise, right? Oh, I lifted the weight 7 times and now I've been, but it didn't do me anything.
I should have lost 300 pounds. Why didn't I?
You know, so I really encourage you to get your son back in and not leave it up to him. Secondly, I want you to go with him because teenagers, even though he's 18, teenagers tend not to do terrifically well in individual therapy. Most adults struggle with following through on the exercises that they need to do in order to benefit from counseling in between sessions. Teenagers even more so. You need to know how best to support him in the work that he's doing, what kind of boundaries you might need to set, what kind of encouragements you need to give him. You need to know how to help him process these things. So you and your husband need some new skills to support him, and so that he can come to lean on you, not the therapist so much. So I really encourage you to get back into the counseling and go with him. So that it's a family approach to this, because there are things that he needs to work on and that you need to support him with. In the meantime, since you were saying it's difficult to get in, I'm going to turn you on to our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. I'd encourage you to read it together with him and really, you know, go through that book. It's a book where I take a look at, you know, the psychological, spiritual, physical, and other approaches to treating anxiety. And I think it'll be very helpful for you to get some background on understanding how to process these feelings and help him through it.
Now, you did say that he was on medication, and when he stops the medication, these feelings come back. He should not be stopping medication, especially without being in a counseling situation, because it's the counseling that will rebuild his brain to be able to eventually get off the medication under a physician's guidance. Don't let him be jumping on and off medication.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
I will say that the research tends to show that actually therapy is the primary way to treat anxiety. You know, with depression, the research shows that counseling and medication together is the gold standard for treatment. But with anxiety, what tends to happen is that people tend to lean a little too hard on the medication, so they don't tend to do the work that's needed to improve. And so research really shows that the therapy is the gold standard for treating anxiety, and secondarily some medication if it's really severe.
But since he's dealing with, you know, what you're calling a darkness, make sure he's not jumping off that medication of his own accord, and make sure he gets back into counseling and does both, because that will give him the eventual freedom from the medication if he can rebuild that thinking process for himself.
Yeah, and Marie, for you and for any others, because we had somebody call in with this yesterday too, and then they were saying, well, they went to a couple of sessions and they didn't think it was working. You know, if your son, God forbid, had cancer, you know, and went to two oncology appointments and said it wasn't making any difference, you wouldn't say, then don't go. You would discuss your concerns with the doctor. You would find, you know, other doctors to work with, but you wouldn't let them stop. Don't for you and for any other listener who's in that situation, keep looking for that help. Keep working with that counselor. Keep identifying other resources that you can do, but don't let them jump out of it. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about fear, worry, or anxiety today on More to Life. Are you worried about a particular problem in your life or relationships that is provoking anxiety for you? Is anxiety undermining your peace or stealing your joy in some way? Maybe fear is holding you back from doing something you need to do. Or someone you care about is struggling with anxiety and you're not sure how to help them. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You can also shoot your questions to us via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's especially for those folks who are tuning in a little bit later today to the More to Life podcast. But either way, we want to hear from you, and let's talk about finding peace after anxiety. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming back. Plus, we'll be joined by Bishop Paul Bradley, the Apostolic Administrator for the Diocese of Steubenville. He'll be sharing some spiritual insights for overcoming anxiety. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
The Dr. J Show podcast with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse features some of the most foremost leaders and thinkers on issues relating to marriage, family, and human sexuality. You can hear the Dr. J Show as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world, all in one place, all free at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/radio and click Podcast Central today.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Be Not Afraid, as we talk about the ways that fear, worry, or anxiety holds us back. Is there a particular problem in your life or relationships that you're worried about? Is anxiety undermining your peace or stealing your joy? Is fear holding you back from doing something that you need to do or would like to do? Or for that matter, is someone you care about struggling with anxiety and you're not sure how to support them? We're here for you. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bishop Paul Bradley, the Apostolic Administrator for the Diocese of Steubenville. Bishop Bradley, welcome to More to Life.
Well, thank you very much, Doctor and Lisa. It's great to be with you this morning to spend a few moments.
Wonderful to have you. Thank you for joining us, Bishop.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about the virtue of hope and its role in anxiety. And in fact, your Episcopal motto is waiting in joyful hope. Tell us a little bit about how you think we can hold on to hope or why hope is so important, especially in the face of anxiety.
Okay, I really found that the topic that you're addressing today is obviously such a great need. We live in a time of tremendous anxiety. I think there's a lot of things going on in the world in general and in many of our lives to lead us to have some struggles with that and maybe even some fears. But, you know, that Episcopal motto that you referred to, waiting in joyful hope, is rooted in well, the season of Advent, for one thing. Advent was when I was named a bishop, and that was part of what led me to choose that particular phrase. But also because hope is not just a theme of Advent, but it's really the theme of our entire lives. We're here in this world for a certain number of years. None of us knows exactly how long God has in his plan for us to be in this world. And yet we have our hope set on the fact that there is more to come. There is a life after death. And we pray as people of faith that eternal life will be with God. And that's really what hope is all about. It keeps us living in a more or less a constant Advent, not in fear, not in wonder where all this will lead, but with a certain confidence that comes from that theological virtue of hope. As we know, those three theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. So it's that hope that keeps us focused, even in the times of anxiety.
Well, and of course, you were talking about Advent, but we are in the season of Lent and drawing closer to Easter, which is, of course, another time of where we focus on hope.
Absolutely.
As a church.
Absolutely. It's everything that leads up to what our the whole purpose of Lent is all about, is to bring us to accompany our one another through this journey that helps us to a life of repentance, for sure. But also with that focus on why we're able to have the confidence in the fact that Jesus suffered, died, and rose. That is what overcame the power of sin and death. That's the victory that we share in, and that's the reason for hope for all of us. So you're right, Doctor. That's it's another wonderful time, but I think, as I say, we kind of live in a constant season of Advent or Lent, looking forward to what's still to come.
Can I ask you this, though? So when somebody's struggling with anxiety, and, you know, we try to focus on that virtue of hope, what are we hoping in exactly? Because I think that a lot of times people will like, well, I want to hope that it's all going to turn out just the way I want it to. But that's not exactly what we're hoping in. Talk to us a little bit about what do we focus on in that time?
Right. I think, we as human beings in our human terminology, day-to-day terminology, parlance, hope is something pleasant that we hope might happen at some point. But hope as a virtue, as a theological virtue, is that spiritual rootedness. I think, you know, Pope Benedict, in his beautiful encyclical on hope, Spe Salvi, wrote about how it goes to what God has placed in our human hearts. St. Augustine described it as that certain feeling of restlessness that we can only find true rest in God. And so it's that constant, that which draws us ever forward, even through the times of anxiety or fear or worry that we live in this world, even tribulation. Jesus himself said, in the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world, which, to your point, Easter is all about. So it's a whole different understanding of that word hope when we put it into that spiritual and theological context that really is at the heart of who we are, created in the image and likeness of God.
Bishop Bradley, I want to thank you for making the time to be with us and reminding all of us of the importance of holding on to hope, especially in those times of anxiety. God bless you, sir. Thank you again.
You're very welcome. God bless all of you.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, about fear, worry, and anxiety on our show today titled Be Not Afraid. And if you are wondering how to handle a particular problem that's causing you to be anxious, or you're struggling with just anxiety in general, or someone you care about is wrestling with anxiety, we're here to help. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back in a minute.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
I'll never forget hearing a beautiful talk many years ago by then Pope Benedict XVI when he was telling young people that God and the Ten Commandments, not a series of rules or restrictions meant to basically cramp our fun. But it stuck in my mind because he said, this is all about freedom and love and life. There's a certain structure to things. There's a certain natural law. And when you go against that, it's chaos. Whether we're talking about thinking we can sleep around, look at the epidemic of STDs that we still have in this country, and they grow every single year. So this is what happens when we don't play by the rules. Things go out the window.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Hey, men. Did you know that you're called to lead couple prayer in your marriage? You might have the most amazing individual prayer life, but how is it possible to have a godly marriage if you and your wife don't submit yourselves to God in prayer on a daily basis? If you go off and pray by yourself and then tell your wife what you heard, how is that not setting yourself up as some kind of anointed oracle in your home? Yes, it's a good first step, but it's only the first step. Bring your bride to pray with you and ask God to teach you both how to love each other the way He wants you to love each other. Let her see you humbling yourself before God, and she'll give you her heart in ways you never dreamed possible. To learn more, check out my book, The Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Be Not Afraid, as we talk about fear, worry, and anxiety and all the ways those things hold us back. Is there a particular problem that you're worried about? Is there a particular situation that's causing you anxiety? Or maybe you're just experiencing a thread of anxiety under everything you do and you don't know why it's there. Or perhaps someone you care about is wrestling with fear, worry, or anxiety, and you're just not sure how to support them. Well, whatever the situation is, let's talk it out together and help you find ways to move from being a worrier to a warrior. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Martha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California on Ave Maria Radio on Alexa.
Hi, Martha. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Oh, thank you. And thank you for taking my call. Oh, this is regarding my husband. I feel like he has this. I'm not sure with this, but he's starting to put me very anxious. We have a son, and he's starting to send me texts about the crimes or accidents that happen in my area. He is concerned about our 18-year-old son who goes to the university and walks to school or skateboards or rides a bike. He insists that I drive him to and from the university because he could get run over, somebody can jump him, he could get hurt.
Now, you told our screener that somebody was killed on that route recently?
Not on the route, but in the city last week, somebody got run over and died.
And you also told our screener that you used to drive your daughter to school.
I used to drive my daughter, but that was different circumstances. She was in a program where she started an hour and a half before school started, and then she would have other activities after school, and she would get home a very different hours. And yes, it was also close by. My son's only a 20-minute, maybe 15-minute walk from home. And I didn't see this. I didn't see this, but even since high school, he used to ask me to take him to school. Everybody else walked to school to and from. And he does have a practice in golf. And that's the only time that I drive him because his clubs are very heavy and, well, different. He starts very early or comes home.
Now, let me ask you this. So you mentioned to, you said on the call, but also mentioned to our screener that your husband's always like this. Is your husband anxious about lots of things, or is he specifically concerned about this?
I think this is he probably anxious about different things because he shows it in anger towards me. Like, say this time he's been telling me, "You're so lazy." He brings it up. It's been over about 2 years, and every time that he finds out that he realizes, and he kind of asks questions to lead me to find if he's walking or am I taking him. And when I tell him the truth, you know, he walks on his own, and he picks up a fight. He gets very angry. He says, "Why can't you do this?" Because I'm a stay-at-home mom. You're so lazy, and it gets very, very, very upset. And I have explained to him that, you know, he's growing up, and I've always had to be the one to get my son in his years. He's very overprotective about his children. And this is one that is not going to be, it's not going away. It's a couple of years, and now he started texting all right. me every time there's an accident.
Well,
in the area.
Okay, I'm concerned about the way these conversations are going, and you certainly don't ever deserve to be, you know, called names or spoken to the way you're describing. This is kind of one of those things, though, where I'm not clear I understand why you're digging your heels in so much, right? I have a feeling here that this is kind of one of those things where I'm not going to let him tell me what to do because I'm mad at the way he talks to me. And I'm reading between the lines, and forgive me if I'm getting that wrong. But, you know, you've described a situation where, there are people who have been hurt in the area that you're at.
It's a difficult and turning dangerous neighborhood, you know.
It's one thing if you're... your 18-year-old son is driving himself to school, or your 18-year-old son is in, you know, you guys are in the country or something, and but you're really talking about a situation where there is reason to be concerned. Okay. And, you know, rather than being honest with your husband about this, you're hiding it. You know, you're not addressing it until he comes to you and says, "Are you doing this?" You know, you're kind of passively aggressively using your son to get back at your husband for the way he speaks to you. And so I'm concerned about two problems here. I'm concerned about the state of your marriage, and the fact that you guys don't know how to work together to solve problems. And I'm concerned that you're using your son to get back at your husband in a passive aggressive kind of a way. And I mean, if you're asking our advice would be, yes, number one, you should probably be driving him because there's a prudent reason to do so. But even more importantly, you need to be working on your marriage, because the fact that you're lying and hiding things from your husband, and your husband is calling you names, speaks to a real breakdown in the trust and the respect in your relationship.
That's where the real problem is. And I have to say, Martha, there's anxiety and then there's prudence, you know, and your husband is coming to you with evidence time and again. Hey, this is a really not safe path for our son to be walking 20 minutes through to go back and forth to college. So you can all either work on figuring out how you as his parents can get him a car so he can drive himself, or you can drive him every day. But this is not something where, God forbid, something happened and your husband is right, that you want to say afterward, "Oh my gosh, my husband was right. I should have driven my son. Something terrible happened to him." So working on the marriage, how you communicate with each other, the level of respect in your marriage, that's primary.
And you haven't even described a reason why you can't do it. I mean, it's not like you're saying that you have to get out the door to do X, Y, or Z.
That you've got some appointment to go take care of your mother, or there's something pressing that's not working with the time frame.
So again, that brings me back to, you're just not doing it because you don't want to be told what to do. And I get that. I understand that. But there are healthier ways to address that problem with your husband than using your son to make a point.
And you're sending your son to college so that he can have a brighter future and go live in a safe neighborhood and have a career and do all those things, supporting him through the next few years at this college by getting him there and back safely, is not that big a sacrifice in comparison to, you know, what could be a very big sacrifice if he's not safe.
You know, this is a really good example of how, when husbands and wives don't work on their marriage, their children suffer. Because, you know, you unintentionally, unconsciously, you're using your son to get back at your husband for telling you what to do in a way that you feel is disrespectful. And you're right. He is speaking to you disrespectfully. But you don't become passive aggressive with your son your son's health to make a point to your husband. You go work on your marriage.
Yeah. Okay? So really what you need to be saying to him is, all right, I will be driving him to and from school every day. If your husband is available for one of those things, you can work that out together. You can drive him, you can pick him up, whatever those things are. But then you say to him, but honey, we've really broken down around this. We've broken down how we talk to each other and what we share with one another. And you know what? Our son's going to move out in the next 5 years. Let's work on this so we're not angry at each other when he does leave, and that we have the best marriage possible, because I want to be your best friend. I want you to be my best friend, and I want us to love and respect each other for all the years of our marriage. And we're really looking at just it being just us, and it's time to really work on this together. And then find a good marriage and family therapist in your area, a very pro-marriage therapist, and make the appointment and say, I've made an appointment for this, and we really are going to work on this together because I love you and I love us too much to let us keep degrading like this.
Of course, if you're looking for faithful ways to respond to these challenges, we invite you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice. But yeah, I mean, short answer, Martha, I do think you should be driving him, but work on the primary issue here, which is the relationship between you and your husband. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Be Not Afraid, as we talk about fear, worry, and anxiety. Is there a particular problem that's causing you to be worried or anxious? Or are you just experiencing general anxiety and you're not sure what to do about it? For that matter, is someone you care about struggling with anxiety and you're not sure how to help them? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. And as we come to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10.
Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
You know, God is reminding us here that even when we're afraid, we can still do the thing that's good. And in fact, you know, it's a truism in psychology that feelings follow actions. And so it's not a question of, am I afraid to do this thing or not? It's a question of, would it be good for me to do this thing or not? And if it would be good for me to do it, even if I feel afraid, then I can step out in faith, knowing that God will hold my hand and carry me through it. I can close my eyes and offer that situation up to God and take that step, even though I feel fearful, because God wants me to do those things that are good for me, for the people that I love, and that draw me closer to Him. Hold on to that verse, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am with you, for I am your God. Well, we're taking a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about fear, worry, and anxiety on our show titled Be Not Afraid. The number, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Carry the faith wherever you go. Watch your favorite EWTN show, series, or special, or listen to your favorite EWTN radio program at any time, day or night. EWTN On Demand brings all your favorites instantly. Download the EWTN app at EWTNApps.com today.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Be Not Afraid, as we talk about overcoming fear, worry, and anxiety, and the way it steals our joy and robs our peace. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 7825. Before we take our next call, I just wanted to share a great resource with you. It's called Guideposts for the Journey Home by Marcus Grody. You know, for over 25 years, the Journey Home program on EWTN has enjoyed tremendous success. Marcus Grody shares personal stories of conversion, hope, and renewal to help readers stay close to Christ and His church in the middle of life's storms, like the ones we're talking about today on the show. He poses real interviews and real-life answers to difficult questions posed by viewers. In this book, you'll find fascinating stories about miracles, healings, and vocational journeys. Check it out, Guideposts for the Journey Home by Marcus Grody. It's available now. You can get it at EWTNRC.com. Again, that's EWTNRC.com. Check it out, Guideposts for the Journey Home. And with that, we are taking your calls about fear, worry, and anxiety at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Gabriella, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Gabriella. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good evening, both of you. Thank you for taking my call. I have a graduation coming up for my brother. My whole family's going. It's a big deal. He's graduating from the Marine. He is retiring from the Marine Corps in May. And my fear is over flying. And I've developed this fear, I think, over my life. I used to be okay to fly, and now I'm just even thinking about it, my hands get watery, and I'm just so nervous to fly.
When you think about flying, you know, what goes through your head about it? You imagine flying, and what either thoughts go through your mind or images go through your head?
It's more so being up in the air for an extended period of time. I think that's what, maybe it's the lack of control that I feel. And I'll also have my 5-year-old son with me. You know, my family will be with mm-hmm. me, but my son will be with me. And he's flown before. He did great. Just me being me, I'm worried about it. Very, very worried. And I
okay,
think
but play that out for me. Okay, so what does? But let's take it a little bit deeper. Okay, so what does being in the air mean to you? Like, I'm in the air, and so what? Fill in the blank there.
So anything could happen. We could fall. We could have turbulence. We could crash. I mean. Mm-hmm. Really, anything.
Well, but I mean, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but those things could happen anytime for anything, right? You can crash in the car, you could fall down the stairs, you know. But so why this? Why this in particular? Do you feel less in control there?
Because I'm not driving the plane.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Are you struggling in another area in your life where you're feeling a little out of control right now?
Being a mother,
yeah.
You know. Maybe just kind of little things throughout life. Yeah, you know, seriously, being a mom, you know, navigating parenting.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. okay. planning a wedding.
Oh, okay, planning
a wedding?
So that came out of the blue. Wait, tell me more about that, sorry.
We're getting married in November. So I've been planning the wedding, getting everything ready, and I guess that's kind of on my mind.
Okay. The reason I asked that broader question, and congratulations on the wedding,
yes.
Is because a lot of times anxiety about a particular thing, like flying or even driving or those kinds of things where we feel out of control, it's a symbol for feeling out of control in other areas of our life. And because those other things are either ongoing or we feel like we can't do anything about those things, our brain kind of latches on to specific events and puts all the anxiety onto that. Right. So in other words, like, you know, you feel anxious about being a mom, you feel anxious about planning the wedding, but you know, those things, that's going to take months to resolve. Right. And so you just tell yourself, well, I'm not that bothered by that because that's just a thing. Right. That's just what mm-hmm. I'm going through right now. And I shouldn't be worried about that. But then you are. So you end up denying that anxiety. And then it latches onto something new. Like, oh, I'm going to go take this flight. So now I'm not, you know, people are always a little bit nervous about flying. That's a very, very common thing. But whenever you're going through other anxieties in your your life, that's when you're going to tend to experience this sort of fear, especially when it comes to this theme about being out of control. And so what I would suggest to you is when you think about this anxiety about the plane and about flying, you know, remind yourself that you know, really what's happening here is that you're anxious about a lot of these other things, and it's kind of piggybacking onto this flight. Step back from it and ask yourself, what's one small thing I could do today to help me feel a little bit more in control of the day, of the wedding plans, of my situation as a mom of a 5-year-old? You know, what's something that I need to try to get a handle on today to feel a little bit more confident and feel a little bit more in control? Because that's what's really happening. It's the fear of the flight is really a stand-in for the fear of being out of control with all these other things. So if you can identify even the tiniest little things you can do to make yourself feel a little bit more in control today, or about this thing that you're going through right now, or about the wedding plans, or whatever it is, it's going to help you take down that anxiety.
Now, a wonderful thing to do is when we wake up in the morning and we're thinking, even especially as moms, you know, how am I going to handle this with my 5-year-old today? These are the things that make me nervous about being a mom in this situation. Write an actual list for yourself as you go through the day, just on a piece of paper, or keep a notebook around you, of the things that you actually got done, that you were successful in doing, because as we read through that every day, it helps us to know our effectiveness. It makes us feel more secure in ourselves. I also want you to spend some time with the Lord and ask Him if there's anything that's underlying the planning of this wedding, or if this is healthy for you and your son, or if there's something there that's also making you anxious that you're not addressing because you're swept up in the planning of the wedding. Also, if there's something about going to see your whole family for this retirement that's triggering that, and you're just going to make it about the plane flight. So really looking at some of the underlying stuff, but really focusing on what you're doing well and you're effective in will also help bring that down a great deal.
All right, Gabriella. So, you know, the anxiety about the flight is just, it's sort of the, what's the word I'm looking at? It's like the lens that's focusing all your anxiety. But the anxiety itself has more to do with all the other stuff. Like, it's easy for us to say, you know, these suggestions. I do believe they will help. But if you're struggling to make them work, I'm going to encourage you with two resources. Follow up with my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, where we talk about spiritual, psychological, emotional, and relational ways to address anxiety, physical ways too. You can also reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com if you're looking for faithful ways to respond to the anxiety that you're experiencing and you feel like you need some more personal coaching with that. But the good news is anxiety is very, very treatable. It responds very, very well to treatment. You just have to get the right kind of help and have the right kind of focus. And so I hope that these suggestions will get you moving in the right direction. Again, if you'd like more assistance, then my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice at CatholicCounselors.com can help get you the rest of the way. Thanks so much for the call. Congratulations on the upcoming wedding, and safe travels. And we've been talking with you today about fear, worry, and anxiety on the show. And one thing that we didn't hit today, but I'd like to leave with, since we've only got about 2 minutes here. We have a tendency to think that anxiety is caused by the problems that we're facing. And again, it's appropriate to have concerns about problems, right? When you see a problem coming, I'm not suggesting you just say, oh, yay, problem, goody. You know, you should be concerned about that. But having a concern about that allows us to see that problem for what it is, gather resources, gather support, and make a plan. Right? Anxiety is when I see the problem and say, oh, my gosh, that problem is coming. It's so big. It's going to run me over. What am I going to do? Ah, you know, right? And I don't focus on gathering support and gathering resources and making a plan. I'm just worried about it running me over. So that's the difference. One of the things, though, that causes us to feel like we're going to get run over by problems is being disconnected from other people. Because brain science tells us that anxiety tends to come from feeling disconnected from others. Even when we're having problems, if we feel strongly connected to the people around us and to God, we tend not to be anxious about it. We might be concerned about it, but we're not anxious because I feel like I've got people who have my back. Even when I'm going through difficult things. But even if I'm not going through difficult times, if I don't feel connected to the people around me, I'm going to feel anxious because I don't have people having my back. Think about it this way. You know, if I'm in ancient times and walking through the woods with my tribe, right, and I have to be afraid of a saber-toothed tiger, I don't have to be afraid of that saber-toothed tiger because I got people watching my back. If I'm walking through the woods by myself, I've got to be on high alert because I don't want to have my head bitten off. Same thing's true in modern times. The more connected connected we feel to God and to others, the less anxiety we feel, even when there are problems around. So if you are feeling anxious about something, resist the temptation to zero in on how anxious you are about the thing. Pull back and say, how can I get support? What resources do I have to deal with this? How can I make a plan? Let me bring this to God and let's work through this together, as opposed to just zeroing in on the thing that's causing the anxiety, because it's not necessarily just about that, as we saw in the last call, in fact. Well, if you'd like to learn more tips for dealing effectively with fear, worry, and anxiety, I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which really talks about the physical, emotional, relational, and psychological and spiritual ways that we can combat anxiety. You can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you address the fear, worry, or anxiety that's affecting your life and your relationships. Learn more about that resource at CatholicCounselors.com. Check it out, because the good news is God does not want us to live in fear, worry, or anxiety. But if we are, it's okay. God still loves us, and he wants to hold our hand and show us how to walk through it. Let us walk with you at CatholicCounselors.com. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks for being with us, and remember, when we live in God's grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in, and have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.